On Meditation by Ajahn Chah. To calm the mind means to find the right balance. If you try to force your mind too much, it goes too far. If you don't try enough, it doesn't get there. It misses the point of balance. Normally, the mind isn't still. It's moving all the time. We must strengthen the mind. Making the mind strong and making the body strong are not the same. To make the body strong, we have to exercise it, to push it in order to make it strong. But to make the mind strong means to make it peaceful, not to go thinking of this and that. For most of us, the mind has never been peaceful. It has never had the energy of samadhi. So we must establish it within a boundary. We sit in meditation, staying with the one who knows. There's no need to think of anything special. Just concentrate on this simple task for now, having continuous presence of mind. There's nothing more to do. Just breathing in and breathing out. Soon the mind becomes peaceful, the breath refined, the mind and body become light. This is the right state for the work of meditation. When sitting in meditation, the mind becomes refined. But whatever state it's in, we should try to be aware of it, to know it. Mental activity is there, together with tranquility. There is vitakka. Vitakka is the action of bringing the mind to the theme of contemplation. If there is not much mindfulness, there will not be much vitakka. Then vichara, the contemplation around that theme, follows. Various weak mental impressions may arise from time to time, but our self-awareness is the important thing. Whatever may be happening, we know it continuously. As we go deeper, we are constantly aware of the state of our meditation, knowing whether or not the mind is firmly established. Thus, both concentration and awareness are present. To have a peaceful mind does not mean that there's nothing happening. Mental impressions do arise. For instance, when we talk about the first level of absorption, we say it has five factors. Along with vitaka and vichara, pity, or rapture, arises with the theme of contemplation, and then sukha, happiness. These four things all lie together in the mind, established in tranquility. They are as one state. The fifth factor is one-pointedness. You may wonder how there can be one-pointedness when there are all these other factors as well. This is because they all become unified on that foundation of tranquility. Together they are called a state of samadhi. They are not everyday states of mind. They are factors of absorption. There are these five characteristics, but they do not disturb the basic tranquility. There is vitaka, or thought, but it does not disturb the mind. There is vichara, examination. Rapture and happiness arise, but do not disturb the mind. The mind is therefore as one with these factors. The first level of absorption, or jhana, is like this. We don't have to call it first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and so on. Let's just call it a peaceful mind. as the mind becomes progressively calmer, it will dispense with vitaka and vichara, thought and examination, leaving only rapture and happiness. Why does the mind discard vitaka and vichara? This is because, as the mind becomes more refined, the activities of vitaka and vichara are too coarse to remain. At this stage, as the mind leaves off vitaka and vichara, feelings of great rapture can arise. Tears may gush out. But as the samadhi deepens, rapture too is discarded, leaving only happiness and one-pointedness, until finally even happiness goes and the mind reaches its greatest refinement. There are only equanimity and one-pointedness. All else has been left behind. The mind stands unmoving. Once the mind is peaceful, this can happen. You don't have to think a lot about it. It just happens by itself when the causal factors are ripe. This is called the energy of a peaceful mind. In this state, the mind is not drowsy. The five hindrances of sense desire, aversion, restlessness, dullness, and doubt have all fled. But if mental energy is still not strong and mindfulness is weak, there will occasionally arise intruding mental impressions. The mind is peaceful, but it's as if there's a cloudiness within the calm. It's not a normal sort of drowsiness, though. Some impressions will manifest. Maybe we'll hear a sound or see a dog or something. It's not really clear, but it's not a dream either. This is because these five factors have become unbalanced and weak. The mind tends to play tricks within these levels of tranquility. Imagery will sometimes arise when the mind is in this state, through any of the senses, and the meditator may not be able to tell exactly what is happening. Am I sleeping? No. Is it a dream? No, it's not a dream. These impressions arise from a middling sort of tranquility. But if the mind is truly calm and clear, we don't doubt the various mental impressions or imagery which arise. Questions like, did I drift off then? Was I sleeping? Did I get lost? Don't arise, for they are characteristics of a mind which is still doubting. Here the mind is fuzzy. This is the mind getting lost in its moods. It's like the moon going behind a cloud. You can still see the moon, but the clouds covering it render it hazy. It's not like the moon which has emerged from behind the clouds, clear, sharp, and bright. When the mind is peaceful and established firmly in mindfulness and self-awareness, there will be no doubt concerning the various phenomena which we encounter. The mind will truly be beyond the hindrances. We will clearly know everything which arises in the mind as it is. We do not doubt, because the mind is clear and bright. The mind which reaches samadhi is like this. Some people find it hard to enter samadhi because they don't have the right tendencies. There is samadhi, but it's not strong or firm. However, one can attain peace through the use of wisdom, through contemplating and seeing the truth of things, solving problems that way. This is using wisdom rather than the power of samadhi. To attain calm in practice, it's not necessary to be sitting in meditation, for instance. Just ask yourself, what is that? And solve your problem right there. A person with wisdom is like this. Perhaps they can't really attain high levels of samadhi, although there must be some. Just enough to cultivate wisdom. It's like the difference between farming rice and farming corn. One can depend on rice more than corn for one's livelihood. Our practice can be like this. We depend more on wisdom to solve problems. When we see the truth, peace arises. The two ways are not the same. Some people have insight and are strong in wisdom, but do not have much samadhi. When they sit in meditation, they aren't very peaceful. They tend to think a lot, contemplating this and that, until eventually they contemplate happiness and suffering and see the truth of them. Some incline more towards this than samadhi, whether standing, walking, sitting or lying, enlightenment of the Dharma can take place. Through seeing, through relinquishing, they attain peace. They attain peace through knowing the truth, through going beyond doubt, because they have seen it for themselves. Other people have only little wisdom, but their samadhi is very strong. They can enter very deep samadhi quickly. But not having much wisdom, they cannot catch their defilements. They don't know them. They can't solve their problems. But regardless of whichever approach we use, we must do away with wrong thinking, leaving only right view. We must get rid of confusion, leaving only peace. Either way, we end up at the same place. There are these two sides to practice, but these two things, calm and insight, go together. We can't do away with either of them. They must go together. That which looks over the various factors which arise in meditation is sati, mindfulness. This sati is a condition which, through practice, can help other factors to arise. Sati is life. Whenever we don't have sati, when we are heedless, it's as if we are dead. If we have no sati, then our speech and actions have no meaning. Sati is simply recollection. It's a cause for the arising of self-awareness and wisdom. Whatever virtues we have cultivated are imperfect if lacking in sati. Sati is that which watches over us while standing, walking, sitting, and lying. Even when we are no longer in samadhi, sati should be present throughout. Whatever we do, we take care. As our understanding and knowledge of cause and effect increases, our collectedness will increase as well. When collectedness increases, heedlessness will disappear. Even if we don't sit in meditation, these factors will be present in the mind. And this arises because of cultivating sati. This is the quality which looks over the work we are doing in the present. It has real value. We should know ourselves at all times. If we know ourselves like this, right will distinguish itself from wrong. The path will become clear, and the cause for all ignorance will dissolve. Wisdom will arise. We can bring the practice all together as sila, samadhi, and panya. To be collected, to be controlled, this is sila, morality. The firm establishing of the mind within that control is samadhi. Concentration. Complete overall knowledge within the activity in which we are engaged is punya, wisdom. The practice in brief is just sila, samadhi, punya. Or in other words, the path. There is no other way.